Are you mad as hell and don't want to take this anymore? Tired of lies and agendas by the 1%, the powers that be? If so, come to the event that exposes the global conspiracy and offers real answers. ConspiracyCon returns to the Bay Area for a cutting-edge 13th year. Discover the truth about mind control, weather control, Sandy Hook, 9/11, the Fed, chemtrails, JFK, and more. See Foster Gamble of Thrive, Marshall Summers, Bill Still, Jim Fetzer, Freeman, True Ott, and more. Plus, Swami Beyondananda, the cosmic comic, along with other great special guests. ConspiracyCon 2013 at the Milpitas Crown Plaza, June 1st and 2nd. For more info, call 925-449-6844. That's 925-449-6844. Or visit conspiracycon.com. ConspiracyCon.com. Where other conferences end, ConspiracyCon begins.
In the 1930s, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt addressed the nation through a series of radio broadcasts known as the Fireside Chats. His aim was to reassure the common man that our society would recover from its troubled times. But we're far from 1930, and I deal with a different kind of far. For a new era of worldly frustration, we offer a fresh conversation. I'm Greg Carlwood, and these are the Fireside Chats.
People, welcome back once again to the show we call THC, drinking a little drink, smoking a substantial amount of smoke. I'm that Greg Carlwood guy, and as the world spins wildly through the abyss, many of us may very well be dealing with some of the unfortunate ramifications of the awakened mind. These side effects may include an unwillingness to participate in the game, a strong desire to quit one's job, and an increased level of self-medication, as well as the most unfortunate isolation from uninitiated friends and family. Fortunately, today's guest has been working on the treatment for these negative effects for over 13 years, creating havens for the higher mind, retreats for the rebellious, and sanctuaries for the sane minority stuck living in the sick society. And that man is Brian William Hall, the creator and organizer of the 13-year running Conspiracy Con, which is taking place this upcoming weekend, June 1st and 2nd, in the San Jose area at the Crown Plaza Hotel. Brian, my man, how are you?
Hey, Greg, thanks so much for being on your show. Excellent introduction. I am impressed.
Thanks, man. I try to make them a little different, but hopefully you're doing good. I'm doing great. I'm psyched to have you here. I'm a big fan of lectures and conferences and expos, and I've been to quite a few, but nothing quite like what you got going on at ConspiracyCon. It's very impressive that it's been running 13 years. I mean, let's talk about your path to waking up. What was it that started to pull you away from the official story and into the big conspiracy?
Like everybody else, just about everybody else, and I'll qualify that at least in this country, for roughly the first 30 years of my life, I grew up under the mental, if you will, and intellectual constraints of what the mainstream taught me. That is the political machine, the education machine, the media machine, all of these industrial complexes that are in place that for years, if not decades, merely indoctrinate and program people. Mm-hmm. The elites of this world know that our brains are like computers and they can be programmed, especially during those formative early years. And most people are indeed products of years, if not decades, of programming and indoctrination. I was no exception until a Jedi master approached me. Oh, I'm sorry. No, but some very interesting friends of mine approached me about some material that, you know, flew in the face of everything that we've been taught, everything we thought we knew. Mm-hmm. And in this case, it was about UFOs.
Ah.
This was roughly almost 2 decades ago, and a lot of people have, you know, kind of a minor interest or fascination in that subject, be it from a sci-fi fantasy standpoint or from genuine interest and research. Well, once I was approached, instead of resisting, like most people do, and saying no, I decided, okay, this person is taking it very seriously. He or she is hoping that I will too. I said, yes, I'll take a look at it with an open mind, and I followed through with my promise. Well, what I found was that it made its case very, very well. and I wanted more information about that topic and others of its ilk, and I kept digging around. I started myself reading the books, getting the tapes, getting the DVDs, going to the lectures and the conferences that other people produce that you mentioned are going on out there. And I discovered that there's this giant sphere of knowledge. And while I was swimming around in there, you know, I entered through the UFO door, but there were a lot of other doors as well. And I checked out this door and that door, and I realized that while there might be something going on extraterrestrially, if you will, I learned that we also are facing some terrestrial concerns. There are not just cover-ups of perhaps visitations from other worlds and the suppression of the technology that would get these entities from point A to point B across the universe, if not the multiverse. But there's a lot of suppression going on with what's happening right here on Terra Firma. There are indeed real conspiracies, real hidden agendas. And if there's a cover-up, if anybody covers up anything, you can bet there's a conspiracy to cover up. So, you know, the two go hand in hand. And I found that out very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. There is an ongoing effort by the mainstream epidermal government that you can see, the administration, along with that entity infamously known as the secret government, are indeed covering up these technologies. Whether little green men exist or not, the ability to traverse space and defy Newtonian physics, perhaps time travel, deep space travel, teleportation, you name it, that's going on in what's called the secret space program, which I learned about studying UFOs. But that's bringing me a little bit closer to home to a lot of things that are happening right here with regards to planet Earth and its history, what's been going on with humanity. And I realize, as I did more studying passively, just to educate myself, that one cannot have a fundamental understanding of Earth history or current global geopolitics unless one acknowledges the existence and influence therein of that which is colloquially known as the secret government or the the shadow government. Mm-hmm. You cannot have a fundamental understanding of what we call life on Earth until you realize that there are groups and individuals along with their institutions in place whose decisions affect all of us, yet they answer to none of us. And let me tell you, friends, they do not have your interest or mine at heart, and that is putting it very nicely. I thought, you know, where can I find out more information about that? It felt more urgent than, say, UFOs or even the UFO cover-up.
Yes.
And I looked around, and I'd gone to all kinds of conferences on that topic, on other topics. I didn't see anybody doing anything on hardcore conspiracy. Anyway, I had a few dollars and this crazy idea. I was with a group of my peers who also produce events here in the San Francisco Bay Area. And this was back in the year 2000. I said, guys, I've got this wacky idea. How about a conference on conspiracies? And the room lit up. Everybody realized, wait a minute, that's where we're all headed. That's the thing to do. And so we got the website and called it ConspiracyCon. And we are now at our 13th event. That's coming up next weekend, June 1st and 2nd. And you know, since then, we have been, along with the help of speakers, researchers, concerned citizens across the country, if not the world, they will come to this humble gathering and share with an audience over the course of one weekend, under one roof, hardcore truth about what's going on in this world, what's been happening to us, and offering potential courses of action and possible solutions to these incredible challenges we face. You know, and I know that's a tough pill for some people to swallow.
Yeah.
Perhaps not your audience, Greg. I know that's a tough pill to swallow, but the human race better wake up and take a look at some sobering things, because time, she is running out. You know, when parents tuck their kids in bed at night and tell them that monsters don't exist, I'm sorry, but that's erroneous. Monsters do exist, Greg, and they run things.
Yeah.
And I feel it's important to facilitate awareness, which is the key. Your first best destiny and mine is to educate ourselves and as many others as possible. The light at the end of the tunnel is that there is strength in numbers. So we've got to keep it up. Keep up your forum, which is this wonderful podcast. If I can, if people support my efforts, I will keep up the conspiracy conference here in the Bay Area. That's a general overview, but I think that's a good idea of where I'm coming from and what I've been up to and why.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. You know, a theme that's been coming up on the show in the past few episodes is that a lot of times these things come out of an isolation. You know, as a kid in high school, and I was pretty rebellious and felt somewhat isolated, felt like I was on a different type of page. And now, you know, with events like Conspiracy Con, there's other like-minded people there. With this show growing in numbers, it's like, wow, I'm in my little world turning the tide from a place that started out of isolation. And now it's growing to my worldview, not necessarily my worldview, but the opinions of the people that I find really interesting. You know, I'm sharing those with people and they're getting more on board, and it's pretty cool. But like you said, you put this event on for 13 years, which ironically is what set off the year of my real awakening, or at least the first time I started thinking about the degree to which events and society are really manipulated. And of course, that would be 9/11. And I guess your first Conspiracy Con would be the one pre-9/11 Conspiracy Con. That has to be somewhat interesting. What was that like? What was the first one like?
As I look back on it, it perhaps was prophetic. By accident, by design, you know, who knows? But even by the mid to late 90s, I began to realize that something was very, very wrong. And this is approaching the time when I became more proactive when it came to this kind of research, this kind of knowledge, how important it really is. And a lot of people still poo-poo the idea of conspiracies. But again, ladies and gentlemen, that's called programming. Congratulations. Congratulations on, yes, you're giants, but you're sleeping giants. And hopefully you'll wake up soon. But that's the robot thinking. And it's time, like the great conspiracy researcher David Icke says with his book, it's time for a robot's rebellion. And I've had David Icke. He was, as a matter of fact, he was at our first conference in May of 2001, just a couple months before 9/11. We had some other great speakers like the great Jordan Maxwell, Mark Phillips, Kathy O'Brien. They talked about mind control. We were talking about chemtrails at the time, but one of our researchers, and it could have been David Icke, was predicting that something like this, like 9/11, would happen. He said, just you watch, folks, just you watch. There's going to be a very, very large event, and it will probably be blamed on terrorists. I believe it was either he or another speaker who said that. We probably got it archived on DVD. Because we record all these presentations, one, to make them available for those who couldn't attend, two, it's important to archive this stuff.
Right.
And anyway, that was said, and sure enough, you know, about 2 to 3 months later, bam, the biggest false flag in our lifetimes was orchestrated by the very elites that I and my colleagues expose with this conference and, of course, with their own respective research. But this is a place for people to get together, not just to hear lectures, but as you alluded, it's a very good place to network with like minds, to meet other people. If you're alone out there and going, God, I'm starting to think that maybe something's wrong in this world, is there a place I can go? Yes, there is, ladies and gentlemen. There is a place you can go where you can meet other people and not feel so damned alone. We are out there. There is indeed a renaissance sweeping this planet, Greg. It sounds like you're talking to them as well. I know I do, especially every time I produce this conference, when that time of year rolls around, I talk to people all around the country. And let me assure, yes, that matrix red pill is indeed tough to swallow, okay? Yes, the rabbit hole goes very, very deep, but you're not alone. You won't be ridiculed. It's happening now. Those who still believe that Oswald was the lone gunman, those who still believe in the official version of 9/11, those who still believe in the official version of just about everything in between those events and beyond, are not tomorrow, but today, becoming dinosaurs. And it's not because we wacko conspiracy theorists, a damage control label courtesy of the very forces we work to expose.
Of course.
Not because we conspiracy theorists just happen to be more convincing, because we can debate our case, whether right or wrong, a lot better than the mainstream. No, we have a little thing to back us up. It's called the truth, or at least we're a lot closer to the truth. We are at least in honest pursuit of the truth, mm-hmm. other than the so-called fourth estate, the mainstream media, the press, which has absolutely betrayed us. And that's why, Greg, what you do is so important, to keep a forum for people who enjoy listening to broadcasts like this going, so that they have at least a choice. It's important to at least have a choice. And thank goodness for podcasts, for the internet, at least, you know, what kind of information freedoms we've got left. Use it, keep using it, keep doing it. I will too, at least with regards to a mecca, if people actually want to get together.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, you are kind of in a unique situation, having run this for 13 years. You know, my girl used to criticize me for my decision to double down on the conspiracy theme because she thought it was a little too taboo, and she doubted my ability to gain a worthwhile following with such niche material. But I'm proud to say that I've pretty much proven her wrong on that one. But of course, with what I'm doing, there aren't the same expenses and risks as there are with organizing something like a conference. Putting on this event, I would think, gives you a pretty good insight into how the community has changed and grown over the past decade. I mean, you know, you see it. I see people waking up now. Of course, the internet has helped, but as far as conference attendees, have you seen any changes in demographic over the past decade, or the size of the audience?
Not so much. You know, the size has remained about the same. I was hoping that we would have grown a lot more. Perhaps one of the things that's stifling that is our absolutely manipulated economy. The number one form of terrorism, Greg, is across the globe, is economic. Mm-hmm. The global elites would love to, if they could, in one fell swoop, overtly enslave us. Well, they realize they can't do that, because if you can see and identify your enemy, you can fight it, okay? So they have operated behind the proverbial curtain. That's why it's important, folks, to rewatch The Wizard of Oz and look at the powerful subtext that film is telling you. The Yellow Brick Road, it's all about gold. The Wizard of Oz is Oz. What's that? That's ounces. We measure gold in ounces.
Wow, I never thought of it that way.
Oh, absolutely. And so they've had to enslave us covertly. And the number one form of doing that is economically. Now, there are a lot of people who are talking about how the current White House occupant is doing everything he can to, you know, lower taxes or reduce the budget. But I'm sorry. The current White House occupant, who may allegedly be more eloquent and well-spoken and intelligent than his predecessor, is no less a puppet. And he knows that if he were to try to engage in any kind of monetary reform, like his predecessors Lincoln, Garfield, McKinley, and Kennedy, he too would find a bullet in his brain. And so he's not going to do that, okay? Mm-hmm. A hidden tax on this country is courtesy of a cancerous parasite that has leached itself onto a sovereign nation, in this case, the U.S. And that entity is called the Federal Reserve. It is a private bank with foreign investors, no American citizens, along with its equally private goon squad collection agency, the IRS. Okay, this is a hidden tax by an entity that is private, that does nothing but create debt and human suffering. There, more suffering is the result of this particular private banking entity than any other. It funds wars, it creates them, it foments them, it profits from them, it profits from the post-war restoration, it collapses nations. And it's happened again and again and again whenever there is a central bank. Okay, it is a hidden tax. And the reason we are having so many economic woes is not by accident, folks. It just doesn't happen. It happens by design. The mainstream media reported between 2008 and 2010, at least they were honest in this, but they didn't go into specifics. They reported that 20%, a whopping one-fifth of America's wealth, and when I say that, I mean collectively belonging to the middle class and poor, one-fifth, 20% of America's wealth between 2008 and 2010 literally and virtually disappeared. Now, we know that doesn't just happen, but we also know that there is that crazy 1% that the Occupy people have been talking about. I would submit that there is a 1% behind the 1%. Let's go up a little bit higher, folks, on this pyramid planet and find out who's pulling the strings, the kind of strings that can do that to the collective personal economies of thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Americans and other people across the globe. And so a lot of people are experiencing that, and they're having having a difficult time just surviving. And I have noticed that. I hear from people who want to attend, but they have been devastated. We have people who have lost their homes, their jobs, their bank accounts, their 401ks. This is happening by design. So when it comes to demographics, when it comes to attendance, yes, 13 years is extraordinary, I'd like to say, if I may myself, considering how difficult the elites are making it for all of us. But I forge on because I have to. I find a way to make this conference happen because we do get enough people to keep it going, just barely, just barely. It's a struggle. It's a fight. And we're going to do it again, and we hope that people will join us this year so that we can continue this. If you're just now hearing about this and you want something like this to continue, or if you've been attending and you want this to continue, ladies and gentlemen, I plead with you, come to this conference and support our efforts. It's the only way it can happen.
I agree with you. I've seen many failed ventures in the conspiracy space. I really liked this show with Kevin Nealon, Conspiracy Zone, on I think it was on some network TV show. And it was on for such a short amount of time, and I was like, man, you know, Kevin Nealon is really the perfect kind of host for what I'd like to see, but people didn't support it, and it went away. And I mean, you got to follow the money is what people say, you know, and by funding the ability, even if it's hard, if you fund the ability for authors and speakers and artists to make a living in this conspiracy space, professionals will explore it more and the effects will reverberate outward. Because right now, there may be a lot of people who have, and you know, they're writing for Money Magazine, but in their back of their head, they have an interest in UFOs, but they know they can make a lot more money, you know, talking about Google stock and Apple stock than they can discussing the Rammelstein Forest UFO case. But they may want to do that, but they need to know that they're going to be supported by an audience. And that can only be done by the people and by the money. You know, stop funding the corporations that are incrementally making our situations worse with more invasive products and, you know, lower wages, as well as more job requirements every year in the same jobs. Like, stop powering them with your money. Give it to the conspiracy side, I'd say.
Yeah, I thank you very much for following through with what I said. You know, right now, the truth is a hard sell. It really is, especially... In a system, in a matrix built on a foundation of lies, deceit, corruption, murder, famine, crimes against humanity and Mother herself, the likes of which, if people were to realize it, their heads would spin right off their shoulders. They would realize, oh my God, I live on a science fiction planet and don't even know it. We really do, folks. This is, everything is opposite. You're in a mirror world. It's like Alice in Wonderland, ladies and gentlemen. Black is white, up is down, left is right. You're inside the looking glass, looking out. This is fantasy land. It's kooky land. It's crazy land. And again, that's by the design. people and their institutions you have never met, people who operate behind, as mentioned, the curtain, the proverbial veil, a veil that you pierced, Greg, I have pierced that veil, my colleagues have, speakers, concerned citizens, everybody I've worked with, everybody is starting to wake up. Now, people are, even those in the waking up process, still have their own paradigm and worldview, and I respect that. I should qualify everything that I say right now by saying, this is my worldview right now at this moment. It could change in 5 years. It could change in 5 minutes, okay? I could look at something that would make me, it would force me to reconsider everything I thought I knew. See, truth and reality are not solid. They are constantly flowing and changing and ebbing and tiding, just like rowing that proverbial boat gently down the stream, okay? Nobody but nobody has a monopoly on the truth. And seeking it is not a destination. It is an ongoing, lifelong journey. And whether or not this conference continues, I will continue that journey in some way myself. But I wanted to qualify that because there are people I know who acknowledge the rabbit hole exists, okay? And some people stop there and they think, oh, no, that's the truth. I don't need to go any further. Wrong. Sorry. With all due respect, if you've acknowledged the rabbit hole and you want to know the truth, it's time to take your first few steps down, okay? And I've met a few people who've taken their first few steps down, and that's great. But I've also worked with people who've gone way, way, way down. And let me tell you something. As far down as my colleagues have gone, the rabbit hole still continues to go deeper and deeper and deeper. It is like a layered onion that you must peel away, peel away, peel away. And I'm not afraid to find the truth, no matter how controversial it is. I want to know. Do we not fear that which we do not know more than anything else? A lot of people think, oh, that's fear-based. Talking about conspiracy? Oh, I don't want to give that my power. I don't want to empower the conspiracy. That's negative. I'm sorry, but when is talking about conspiracy or the truth, no matter how dark it might be, how is that negative? It is what it is. It's how you perceive it. It's how you interpret it. It's how you deal with it. I would submit, Greg, that those who are able to seek the truth in both the light and very dimly lit places have the most intellectual and spiritual fortitude on this planet. And again, it's time for us to grow up and take a look at some disturbing things. But if we can do it together, it won't be that difficult. There is strength in numbers. Unfortunately, even with this renaissance of waking up around the planet, the truth movement, whatever it is, we're still embryonic. We still bear the burden of knowing these things while desperately trying to wake up everybody else around us, because we really do base our conclusions on a lot of facts, testimony, documentation, history, pattern. It's not like we're saying, oh, I believe in UFOs and conspiracies. I believe. I'm a conspiracy buff. This is fun. This is cute. I'm part of a club. No. No, it's not fun. It is difficult to bear the burden of knowing these things. But it's also not about belief system. And that's another trick alongside using the term conspiracy theorist that the media likes to use. They like to use, well, that's what these people believe. No. What you believe has little or nothing to do with the truth. I would like to say that I have concluded, based upon all available evidence, testimony, documentation, history, and patterns, that there is something to the conspiracy and that there is a very good reason to continue pursuing it and exposing the real problems and the real problem makers of this world. And there is enough documentation, Greg, if anybody wants to look for it, to sink 12 Titanics. You don't have to go digging around deep, dark dungeons anymore to find the truth alongside Indiana Jones. You don't. It's right there on the internet. Or if you know how to read between the lines, purchase a newspaper. Sometimes you'll find it there. It's everywhere. And the best place to hide things? In plain sight. Just look at the world with more focused lenses. and try to understand the symbols around you. That's how the elites operate. It's right there in front of our eyes. They know they can get away with it because they also know that 99% of the people walking the surface of the earth are symbol illiterate. Get to know why the CBS logo is an eye. Get to know why there is a pyramid in all-seeing eye on the back of the dollar bill. Get to know why there is so much sun symbolism in so much of what we see. And the list goes on. It's everywhere. Anyway, I could go on until the cows come home. Greg, if there's anything you want to interject at this point.
Well, I'd say let's dive into this content a little bit. I mean, when I look at some of the past guests, I definitely recognize a lot of the big names. You know, David Icke, Douglas Dietrich, Jordan Maxwell, Michael Tsarion. But what have been some of your favorite presentations of the years past?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the people who has influenced me the most is the great Jordan Maxwell. Some would find him very controversial. I find him perfectly controversial. I was introduced to his materials in the mid to late 90s, and I finally got a chance to see and meet him around that time. And I knew that if I were to ever do anything, I would want to work with that man. And I was fortunate enough to have done so my first year. He spoke that 2001, just before 9/11. And when it comes to symbolism, when it comes to words and terms and the symbols and logos and emblems, all these little bits of flotsam and jetsam that we use to communicate with each other all have origins, and they are extraordinary. And for those who understand the origins and for those who have been operating on an elite scale, they use them to an even greater degree than we are taught to use them. And again, as I alluded, our education is completely controlled. We are not told anything that would truly empower us. However, there are good people like Jordan Maxwell who have been doing this for over 50 years. He's been doing this, he's been researching this and sharing his information and findings since 1959/60, okay? And he's still with us, he's still out there doing it, and I've worked with him three times now. I would definitely encourage your listeners to take a look at Jordan Maxwell. Find him on the internet. I think it's jordanmaxwell.com, or you can Google him. He has been a huge influence on me. He's been a huge influence on Michael Tsarion. Michael Tsarion comes from Ireland, and he has his own amazing perspective on the control grid all around us and who or what is behind it. I've worked with Michael about two or three times as well, and a lot of his research is on the form of mind control and the secret societies that are behind it. And let me just, on that particular subject, we've covered mind control. We've had researchers on the subject, whether it's MKUltra, Project Monarch, or even more exotic things like the Montauk Project up on the East Coast, Upper East Coast. We've had people from you know, a victimization, people who said that they have been part of these programs, be it MKUltra or electronic surveillance, harassment, voice to skull. When people talk about hearing voices in their head, look, the technologies exist, and it legitimizes the question. When somebody claims it, is it real or is it Memorex? When you're hearing something, is it ghosts or is it the secret government testing this new exotic technology? But when it comes to mind control in general, this is how the elites this is how a handful of elites control the masses. A lot of people ask me, Brian, how can they do that? They can't control everybody. Yes, they can. We're talking about the ultimate powers that be. Again, those who operate secretly. And they operate behind the scenes. They have access to incredible technologies. And but we're not just talking about electronic technologies. We're talking about all manner of technology, everything at their disposal to mass mind control people. They understand the mind is a computer, and that's how they do it. They do it through mind control. We are all to some degree, even yours truly, I will admit it, to a degree, because I have been through that programming, am still mind controlled, and I'm trying, like a lot of people, to work my way out of it with this conference, you know, with your radio program, with all the great researchers that get this information out. Another person that stands out, of course, is David Icke, and mm-hmm. he has been, I guess, if you will, advertised as the most controversial researcher on Earth. I would say that is, for the most part, true. There may be others who have a similar notoriety, but I have yet to hear about them. So much information and so many participants, so little time. But David Icke has come to a conclusion that there are non-human entities that operate interdimensionally that control both this world and the next. And I think he might be right. I don't know, you know, he is saying that it is a reptilian species. Mm-hmm. Well, I would agree that there is a level of consciousness operating on this planet, inside this planet, and perhaps off-world, that has been manipulating human affairs for thousands of generations. It would explain a lot of the controlled chaos throughout human history. It really would. Is it not easier to send a species other than your own, like sheep and cattle, to the slaughter? Well, perhaps they, quote-unquote, can do what they do to us so easily because perhaps they are not us. Now, mm-hmm. I don't know if it's reptilian. I don't know if it's satanic. I don't know if it's demonic. I don't know if it's interdimensional. I don't know if it's alien. I'm not quite there yet. It could be, but it ain't us. I think that considering the way we have been treated, they, whoever they are, have not treated us humanly or humanely. And David Icke has been talking about this for a very long time and how they have operated this planet like a corporate pyramid. They operate at the top, and these are probably those who operate in the hovering, all-seeing eye above the highly occultic symbol on the back of the dollar bill. That eye represents a lot of different things, but I think it represents those who really have global intentions for this planet. And they notice how they have placed themselves above the rest of the pyramid.
Yes.
But they control the pyramid. They control all aspects of it. Down one side, you've got politics. Down another, you've got media. Down another, you've got military. Down another, you've got education. Then science. Then religion. Every aspect of our lives has been touched by their tentacles. Very little has been tainted. That's the kind of matrix we're in. That movie, it's not fiction. The Matrix ain't just a movie. And David Icke has written a book called Children of the Matrix, that we are indeed inside a grand illusion, a hologram. I will have a speaker this year who agrees. Her name is Sonia Barrett. And yeah. she has written about this. She had her own radio program. She is aware that essentially the universe and our place in it is nothing but a giant hologram that is operated like a corporate structure. And we are basically pawns in that matrix. David Icke has said that. I have actually sensed that after having done this for a very long time. And we're going to cover that. Sonia is incredibly eloquent. She's very aware that there is science to back it up. I'm not saying that because, ooh, neato, isn't that interesting? No, there is actual science. We've got physicists and quantum theorists now with their slide rules and calculators determining that other dimensions exist. Mm-hmm. That's extraordinary. Well, that just made space a lot bigger. It, you know, when it comes to the universe, when it comes to the multiverse, it's not that nothing is impossible. It's that everything is. I'll bet consciousness came first before the physical world. And folks, if you've thought of something, you probably just created it. That spark either has made it happen sometime in the past, or it's happening in the present somewhere, or it will. Or, as some would say, if time is an illusion, everything is happening all at once. Mm-hmm. David Icke, Sonia Barrett, even Michael Tessarian and a handful of others would agree that that's what's going on. It's a huge picture. It's not just a big picture. It's a huge picture. And these people have been very influential on me, and that is why it's an honor to continue to work with them.
Absolutely.
And we've got a lot of other interesting people this year. I mean, for those who are familiar with the Thrive movement, Foster mm-hmm. Gamble, who's a member of the Procter & Gamble business he has created a film called Thrive.
Yeah.
Here's a guy who himself was part of the establishment, but realized that, you know, hey, we don't need to do this anymore. There are free energies. You know, we may have tapped into some incredible technologies courtesy of what's out there. If we're not alone, maybe we're getting this from elsewhere, and we can use it for all kinds of applications here at home. It's just a matter of overcoming the challenges and the institutions that would resist something like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to UFO technology, folks, again, it doesn't matter whether little green men exist or not. The technology does, and someone's got it. But the first step on the road to freedom, Greg, and I would say this to you and your audience, is to realize that you are all slaves, at least in the jaundiced of our so-called masters up on high.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not going to share one thing that is going to help set you free. When it comes to auditing the Federal Reserve or abolishing it, you know, for the Ron Paulers out there and the Fed, I agree, but they are going to fight tooth and nail.
Mm-hmm.
They are also not going to, when it comes to the UFO disclosure movement, the government is not going to disclose because, you know, look, it's the year 2013. Where's my flying car? Where's my time-traveling DeLorean? Well, I'm not going to get one so long as the Illuminati still exists. Because they are going to hoard that technology, they're going to keep it for themselves, they're not going to share it with you or me. And we've talked about that as well. We've talked about these technologies. Don't kid yourself. Technologically, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a three-tiered society. There's the crap that you and I have access to, our cars, our toasters, things that break down. Then there's the stuff the military has, which is anywhere from 15 to 50 years in advance of what they'll announce. Then there's the really exotic stuff. That only those at the top of the pyramid have access to, and we've talked about that as well. We've talked about the secret space program. We've talked about the fact that the moon itself is a highly anomalous neighbor. Our nearest mm-hmm. neighbor may be an artificial construct. David Icke talks about that, that the control grid operates off-world, and that our nearest neighbor may be an intimate part of that. The moon, folks, is one big giant anomaly. I would submit, forget Roswell. The biggest UFO story, the biggest UFO conspiracy is that which shines brightly 13 times a year. It's right over our heads. There is something very wrong with that. I've had Jose Escamilla on the moon. I've had Alfred Weber talk about the moon and Mars. I've had Richard Hoagland come and talk about the moon. Last year, I had the great Jay Widener, who did Kubrick's Odyssey, the fantastic documentary
yes.
About the moon. Jay Widener, he talked about how NASA commissioned the great, one of the all-time, if not the greatest directors of all time, Stanley Kubrick. Once he was working on 2001, they commissioned him to help fake the moon shot. And there's a lot of question within ufology and the conspiracy truth movement as to whether or not we went to the moon. Well, I would submit we did go to the moon. We certainly have had the technology to do so. But we were not shown the real moon because there's something very, very, very wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't be covering the moon this year, but I've covered it many times and I hope to in the future. So that's just a little bit more of the kinds of things that concern me and that we've covered at this conference and will continue to.
Absolutely, man. I mean, that's all great stuff. You know, I'm a big fan of most of those people that you mentioned. I mean, Sonia Barrett was new to me. And when I looked into some of her recent interviews talking about the mind control and the programming and how easily we're affected by it, she did really get me thinking about kind of what you said, the machine rebellion, David Icke's lines, that Hollywood motif of the machines rising up and rebelling, like the Terminator or Battlestar Galactica or the Matrix. It's something people talk about, and they wonder about the technological singularity, you know, the Ray Kurzweil stuff. But if you if you come from the angle that we were originally created as a slave race, or just to keep it simple, we're definitely treated like gears and cogs by the corporate overlords. I mean, maybe the rise of the machines is a symbolic representation of the worker class rather than the technology of the working class. And or maybe we're just repeating the same cycle. You know, we're created as a slave race. We rise up. We create our own technology. That technology rises up. Then they make slave machines, and then those machines rise up. Because I guess by nature, when you're creating workers, there's always going to be more of them than there are going to be at the top. And when they get smart enough, they'll overcome that.
That is a very fascinating concept, Greg. Interesting how you would suggest that the robots' rebellion would be the very machines that we slaves create, a la Battlestar Galactica, which was a very, very good show and an excellent allegory for just the concept you addressed. David Icke talks about a time loop, that we are in a loop, that all of this is cyclical, and we need to break that cycle. I have often thought that, as enlightened as it is to consider reincarnation, that even reincarnation, if we keep coming back again and again and again, is in itself a mutation. It's a trap. It's a trick. We keep incarnating on this prison planet. And, you know, every time we do, we don't remember our life between lives. We don't remember our past lives unless you find an expert who can hypnotize you and do those things. But as a rule, we're born into a society with institutions in place to ensure we forget those things, that we forget ourselves, to disconnect us from consciousness. We are drops of water in a sea, and we don't even know we're part of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
We are indeed disconnected. We are individuals. You know, we feel that as humans, it you know, to be human is to be subjective in nature. We're all different. We're all separate. Well, supposedly, technically, scientifically, spiritually, consciously, we're not, and that's where we need to go. We can talk about the mechanics of what's happening right here in this particular vibrational frequency, this plane on Earth, but perhaps something higher is going on. And there's that cycle, you know, we are built as a slave race, and then we build machines, and then they maybe become self-aware, and they feel like a la Galactica,
yeah,
that they were a slave race that need to rebel, and now we're the bad guys. You know, it's interesting.
Absolutely.
It's a matter of perspective. Who's the bad guy? Well, you know, maybe we're on some sort of cosmic food chain. I've considered that as well, but I also stick to my convictions that something is very, very wrong, and that we are indeed being taken advantage of, and that a win-win-win scenario can be achieved. It's just that there is someone or something out there that does not want that achieved, mm-hmm, not one iota. And, you know, we only have so much time on this planet to learn these things before we transition. And there's a lot of talk about, if we have souls, what do you do when you die? I would submit, folks, that if the universe, if not the multiverse, is that big, you've got options. There are folks in the spiritual meta community who say, go to the light, go to the light. Well, what if the light is a trick? What if it's a trap? What if that's where you go to be reprogrammed, where you have your memory filaments removed so that you've forgotten everything, and then you can just be sent right back to this factory, this sweat house called Earth, to do it all over again?
Shit.
I would submit, folks, if you find yourself having transitions, stop, hold your horses, look around, and check your options. Ask for your higher self, okay? Ask, go within, because if that process is part of a loop that keeps bringing us back here, I say screw them. Find someplace else to go. Don't come back here if you're just going to end up being enslaved. Just a thought, suggestion.
No, that's awesome. You know, another great speaker that is going to be at this year's conference, I'm hoping that I can catch him in the hallways and do a little conversating with, is Freeman. You know, he's pretty awesome. He's loaded with little interesting nuggets. One of my favorite things that I've heard from him that's been tagged in my mind came from this lengthy interview where he was talking about programming and the occult influence of Disney films. And he said, you know that song, When You Wish Upon a Star? Well, what do you think a star is? It's a pentagram. They're literally talking about performing magic. And I just thought that seemed pretty damn interesting, especially among the other examples he was given. And I believe his talk is going to be on similar things this year as well, right?
Yes, he's absolutely correct when it comes to the occultic nature of the kinds of films and programming that Disney and the Disney Corporation subjects our eyes, ears, and minds to, especially those of young children, those formative years I mentioned earlier. And indeed, the media, entertainment, occult, industrial complex continues to subject us to incredible ideas, concepts, symbolism. Again, go back to what Jordan Maxwell has researched. But Freeman is uber aware of this as well, and he's going to be covering basically how the nation is being controlled by people involved in the satanic movement, that they use occult technologies, they use mind control to basically have their way with us. I mean, we are to them the sheep and cattle. We are puppets. We are pawns. We are in a global game of chess played by the worst of tyrants. And I would submit to anybody listening to this conversation, those who represent one of the alphabet soup agencies, those that are whose job it is out of Area 51 or Utah or wherever to monitor transmissions. Let me tell you something. In this global game of chess, when we pawns are no longer, when there are none of us, you too, as rooks, knights, and even bishops, will be sacrificed in order to protect the king and queen.
Absolutely.
So just, I like to say that. I like to put that out there to anybody whose job it is to listen to us, because we conspiracy theorists are the so-called bad guys. Sorry, but we're trying to save this nation, folks.
Absolutely.
And Freeman is going to be a very important part of that, because as I said earlier, how can a handful of elites control the masses? They have mapped and tapped into one of the biggest mysteries known to humankind, and that's which rests between your ears and right behind your eyes. And folks, every single nanosecond of every day, they are working you. And it's important to wake up from that ancient slumber and see guys like Freeman. He's a young guy, and he gets it. Interestingly, though, he comes with an interesting pedigree. His father was involved in a lot of this stuff. And while Freeman was growing up, he began to wake up to that fact. So he's kind of got a double whammy. There's the stuff that he's learned from his own father and family, and then there's his own research, which is incredible.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we've got a lot of other great people with us. You know, James Fetzer, who is one of the best researchers into the JFK assassination and 9/11.
It's yeah, 50 years. Yeah.
50 years, a half century since the elites killed JFK. And again, people are getting that, you know, not just with the help of Oliver Stone's movie, but people are really getting that we are being lied to, and that Oswald was not the lone gunman, and that the official version of JFK is as much hogwash as the official version of 9/11 and so much more. Jim Fetzer is one of the go-to guys when it comes to that. He's got some updates and brand new revelations about what happened that day, why it happened, by whom, and what their plans since are for this country. It's almost like the assassination of America. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to talk about that. It's important to, you know, if we don't, I know this is a cliche perhaps, but if we don't remember our lessons of history, we're doomed to repeat them. And so James is a wonderful historian in that regard. And we should not forget JFK because of what was done to him. He was, he wasn't perfect. He was born into a corrupt family, no doubt. But he didn't have the programming that his older brother went through, courtesy of their father, Joseph. The oldest son was being groomed for the presidency. And that involves a lot of that programming during the early formative years. Well, John didn't have that. Jack didn't have that. Neither did Bobby. And so when Joseph had to go with his second choice after his eldest died, Jack and Bobby actually became wild cards, and they started doing some good things. They started arresting the mob. They started producing silver certificates, debt-free money against the will of the Federal Reserve, our central bank. Jack threatened the CIA. He fired the then director, Alan Dulles. He promised to get out of Vietnam in 5 years, which, of course, threatened the military intelligence occult industrial complex, which, of course, is owned and controlled by the bankers. And he was making incredible speeches across the nation, telling the truth and saying that he would expose the conspiracy. Can you believe it? There was a president that was saying this.
Yeah.
You know, he was out there talking about the conspiracy, a president of the United States. Well, they couldn't have that. They couldn't have that. And so they put a bullet in his brain for all to see, all to see. They did it with Lincoln. They did it with McCarthy, with McKinley, with Garfield, all of whom defied the central bankers of their time. So a message had to be sent. And and the message is loud and clear for those who can read it. This is what happens when you this is what happens when you mess with us.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, James is going to talk about what happened and the historical ramifications of JFK. We've got Donald Fox, who's going to be on 9/11 this year. There's been a huge debate, Greg, about what precisely brought down the Twin Towers. Donald Fox, who spoke eloquently at the Vancouver hearings on 9/11 last year, I think he's got the answer. I think he's got the one thing that will hopefully put a lot of debate aside in the 9/11 truth movement,
really,
and unite us. Because there has been a huge schism about precisely what brought down the Twin Towers. There are those who say that it was just nanothermite that did it. There are those that say it could have been directed energy weapons. Well, I'll give you a little bit of a hint, folks. Based on the science, based on solid physics and science, there is a huge nuclear signature involved in the Twin Towers.
Oh, really?
And I think it's going to settle the argument once and for all. And Donald has the science. And you know, if you've been disputing that, or if you agree with that, he's the person to see. He's going to have some incredible material. And when it comes to 9/11, you and I could probably talk forever about what's wrong with the official version. But this particular issue has divided much of the 9/11 truth movement.
It has.
I thought it was very important. And I think Donald Fox is going to settle that debate once and for all. We hope people come see him. When it comes to technologies, weather modification technologies are real. We've talked about HARP in the past. We've talked about chemtrails in the past. We've talked about what they're doing to the weather. We just had Hurricane Sandy. Well, I've got a guy named Dr. True Ott, who with the science will prove that there is an identifiable signature proving that tectonic events, atmospheric events have a signature, that they are indeed man-made. And we're going to cover that as well. The powers that be are going to harness Mother Nature as a weapon of war, and they're going to use it against us. And it's very clever. You have to give them credit because they can destroy regions, and everyone will blame Mother Nature instead of the real culprits. We've got to realize that these technologies have been developed for a very long time. There were superpowers that signed a pact in the late 70s declaring that they would not use these technologies. Well, if that was back in the late 70s, imagine what they have now.
Mm-hmm.
We can't ignore this. There are people who are talking about health freedom. We've got Obamacare coming up. We've got iatrogenic, literally manslaughter that's occurring in mainstream medicine. And now they want to force more of it down our throats. And we've got Dr. Len Saputo. He's a local guy here in the Bay Area that's been all for health freedom. He is going to be talking about that. And then there's another controversial subject. And if you want controversy, this conference is it. I've got a gal named Sophia Smallstorm. Now, Greg, you may have heard of her. She has researched everything from 9/11 to chemtrails. And that's all the clandestine aerosol spraying that's going on above our skies, the streaking, the vanilla sky, and there was even a movie called that with
yes.
Tom Cruise. Sophia has researched both of those topics amazingly. But this year, Sandy Hook caught her eye, and the rabbit hole goes very deep with that as well. We're looking at, based on all available evidence, your classic false flag events, whether it's the shooting in the Aurora, Colorado theater, Sandy Hook, or the recent Boston bombing. There are earmarks that these are false flag events, especially when there are drills going on by any agency du jour.
Yes, of course.
That involve the so-called tragedy either before or the very day of the tragedy,
mm-hmm.
close by or just even the same day. That should raise a red flag for a lot of people right there. Sandy Hook is no exception. Of course, 9/11, FEMA was there the night before. Sandy Hook is no exception. I understand Boston, the Boston bombings, they were having test explosions there the same day of.
True.
Yeah. We've got crisis actors that are showing up, people that, don't shed one tear at all. It's completely fake. It's phony. It's a movie, folks. It's like the illusion creating an illusion. This is that Leonardo DiCaprio film, the Nolan
Inception.
Film about the dream within a dream.
Inception.
Exactly. Yeah. We're looking at an Inception kind of scenario, an illusion within an illusion, a lie within a lie. And again, you've got to peel back those layers and go down the rabbit hole. Sophia Smallstorm's going to do that. In spades. It's going to be a visually rich presentation. I know that's uncomfortable for people to think that, we would challenge a scenario, a tragic-looking scenario in which children were murdered. But what if they weren't? Or what if we're not being told about who or what really happened? I think it's important.
Definitely
we're
is
gonna
important.
We're going to have Marshall Summers. Marshall Summers will be with us this year. He's been involved in a lot of spiritual teachings. He, too, like Sonia Barrett, is aware that there is something bigger going on, that the control grid stretches beyond this planet. For those who are concerned about the Federal Reserve and our fiat currency, we've got the great Bill Still. One of the best documentaries on the subject he made was called The Money Masters, produced and narrated it back in the 90s, required viewing for all Americans.
Yep, I've seen that. It's very good.
A lot of folks ask me, Greg, Brian, what's the one issue? What's the one issue we could attack that would really start the ball rolling? And I've asked myself that question. I thought, what one domino can we knock over by which all the others will begin to fall? And, they always say follow the money. And if we can just wake up America to how our economy has been sabotaged. And interestingly, we're looking at the 50th anniversary of the JFK assassination. This year marks the 100th anniversary of the Federal Reserve Act, which was signed quietly into existence by just a few members of Congress and the president during the holiday season when most of our representatives were at home with their families. This is an act that was created in secrecy on Jekyll Isle off the coast of Georgia in 1910. Ladies and gentlemen, this country's central bank was forged in secrecy, hello, and it was secretly signed into existence. And people wonder what's happened to our country? This was the most powerful industrialized nation in modern history. We are now the largest debtor nation. Again, that doesn't happen. And Bill Still, he's the man. If you want to understand it, he is the man. He knows it in and out.
Very cool.
We've got
him
and a whole bunch of other people. Yeah, we've got other people. We've got entertainment Saturday night. We've got a banquet. You can meet your speakers. Just because we're going to talk about this stuff doesn't mean that we're not going to have some fun. Try to have fun out there, folks. That's what we do with this conference. If you can make it or not, don't let this stuff scare you. Know that, once you overcome your fears, it's because you've learned about something. You've gained knowledge about something. And in a way, it's liberating. I know what it
Agreed.
Is for you, Greg.
Yeah. I
got
totally
validation
agree.
Because of your show.
Yeah. And you'll see with the conspiracy t-shirts I have, conspiracies, I attack that monetary system and the economic slavery pretty hard. It's like half the designs are based on that. But, I would ask you before we try to wrap this thing up, you mentioned earlier that everything, black is white, up is down, left is right. And I totally agree. I mean, we have a situation where the media hides news, pharmaceutical companies are making people sick, schools are making people stupid. I mean, but what would you propose in terms of solutions? Can we overcome such a structure as this? What can we do?
Well, again, I've said it before, and I have no problem repeating myself. The light at the end of the tunnel is that there is strength in numbers. And education is indeed your first best destiny, and it's mine, about all of these things. Awareness is the key. To know a thing, I believe, is to change a thing. It's akin to being forewarned.
Mm-hmm.
If you are forewarned, you are forearmed. If your enemy knows that you know he's going to attack, he will think twice about attacking. Awareness is the key. There were recent meetings of the Bilderbergs, and some of your audience might know that. These are institutions that are in place to represent the elite goals, okay? The Bilderbergs meet secretly once a year, every year. The Council on Foreign Relations, that is also an organization that is in place to destroy this nation and others. It has no good intentions. There were recent meetings at the Bilderbergs and Council on Foreign Relations in which they begrudgingly had to share with each other that we as a planet are becoming more geopolitically savvy. And that was not good news for them, but it is good news for us. They are concerned about that awareness. And Greg, have you noticed that the agenda seems to be speeding up faster and faster and faster?
Yeah.
I would submit that we're not seeing all these false flags and the agenda shoved down our face faster and faster and faster because that's what the elites do. That's what the Illuminati does. Yes, it is. But I would submit like a physics equation, the very famous one, for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. The powers that be, and again, these are blanket terms, but I think your audience gets the idea. They are not acting. They are reacting to our action. We are waking up. It is happening. We are becoming indeed more geopolitically savvy. They've admitted it amongst themselves through leaked documents, leaked videos. I've seen it. I've heard it. I've met the people who were there to report on this. They're not happy about it. So guess what? It's working. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. That's why you need to continue what you're doing. Education and awareness are key. That's the answer. I'll finish with this before I'd like to give out my phone number and web address.
Absolutely.
For those who are more interested. People say, Brian, damn it, you know, we've heard the bad news. We just keep hearing bad news. What's the good news? My response is the good news is that you have heard the bad news. Okay.
Touché. Yeah.
What's the best kind of medicine, Greg? Preventative. If there is a cancer invading, in this case, the body politic, wouldn't you want to know as soon as possible? Wouldn't you want to know as soon as possible so that you could diagnose it earlier?
True.
And treat it much easier? You know. Now the cancer, it's been the body politic has been riddled with it for quite some time. So I'm not sure if the patient can be saved. But if the patient's still alive, and it is, there's hope. And that's my answer to your question, what do we do about it? Well, we got to grow up and become adults. We got to hear the bad news. And that can be an incredible driving force. It's what drove me to invest thousands of dollars of my own money into a crazy thing called a conspiracy conference. And here I am 13 years later. I'm still doing it. I have the respect of my friends and colleagues, and nobody's calling me a loon. Nobody's calling me a nut. As a matter of fact, if anything, more and more people are going, you know what? You're right. Wow, this is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what motivates me. I think that's the answer to your question. If people want to find out, Greg, can I please give out some contact
Absolutely.
Info?
Let's do it.
Okay. This is the 13th annual conspiracy conference, and 13 is actually a sacred number. It's a lucky number, folks. Don't think otherwise.
It's all backwards.
Backwards. It takes place at the newly upgraded Crown Plaza Hotel in Milpitas, California. That's in California's famous Silicon Valley. In the South Bay of the San Francisco Bay Area. It occurs June 1st and 2nd, 2013. For more information, please give me a call. My office number is area code 925-449-6844. I'll repeat that. That's area code 925-449-6844, or visit us on the web at www.conspiracyconference.com. all one word, conspiracycon.com. That's conspiracy, then C-O-N, short for conference or convention. Conspiracycon.com. Click anywhere on the main page graphic to enter. From there, you can find out more information on speakers, schedule, tickets, etc. We hope to see you there.
I had commented earlier about these gatherings being a solution for isolation in this area. And, you know, when I do go to these events or lectures and the crowd is lacking or I'm the only guy under 40, it actually cuts much deeper. So it is important that people actually show. That's an important part of the puzzle. But Brian, you know, it's been a real pleasure. I'm really pumped for next weekend. I'm taking a little mini road trip to San Francisco a couple days before, and then boom, ConspiracyCon 2013. My special lady and I will be selling conspiracies at the booth next to the lecture room, I believe. And I'm trying to gather some audio video to mold into next week's episode, or maybe I might have to skip a week. But if I can gather some stuff in between the speakers, then maybe I'll put together an episode for next week. But if anybody's going and wants to be a cameraman for me, hit me up. And Brian, I'll be seeing you there. Anything else you'd like to leave the people with before we go?
I just want to let your audience know that indeed you will be there with us. So if there are people who follow you and your show, if anything, come up to see Greg. And again, it's not just about the networks. It's about seeing Greg. It's about talking to the other exhibitors, talking to the speakers. They will have a table in the exhibit area. It's an excellent place to network. And if you do feel alone, you will meet fast friends for the rest of your life.
Dominant, man. Well, awesome. I appreciate you coming on the show. It's been a great talk. Take care, and I guess I'll see you in a week.
Thank you, Greg, and thank you to your audience. We'll see you all soon.
All right, man. Take care. There we go, people. Another one bites the dust. There may or may not be a show next week. We'll see what happens at the con. Thanks for listening and sharing and all the amazing things you do. I'm getting really into the events this year because I think that's where the power is and the community is. And I hope to see some of you listeners there. And we'll smoke a bowl and we can show the Cylons what a real rebellion looks like.
They're gonna clean up your looks with all the lies in the books to make a citizen out of you. Because they sleep with a gun and keep an eye on you, son, so they can watch all the things you do. Because the drugs never work, they're gonna give you a smirk, 'cause they got methods of keeping you clean. They're gonna rip up your heads, your aspirations to shreds. Another cog in the murder machine. They said I'll say they just scare the living shit. They could care less as long as someone to bleed. So talk in your clothes, I'll strike a violent pose. Maybe it'll lead you alone, but not me. The boys and girls in the clique, the awful names at the stick. You're never gonna fit in much, kid. But if you're troubled and hurt, what you got under your shirt will make them pay for the things that they did. They said, I'll teenage a scare the living shit out of